Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. We are live today, Ford Eye Center in Bellevue, the Terry Crisp Rink, as the Predators are officially on the ice for training camp. And it's hard to believe that that season is close to getting underway. They'll play 2 preseason games on Monday as they get that going. But good to be back at the rink. JoJo, what's going on?
What's happening, man? It's good to be here and see the Zamboni on the ice. I want to see you, Chase, drive the Zamboni one day.
Oh, that could end poorly.
For those that remember,
I'd probably put it through a wall.
For those that remember, and I think I'm correct on this, 25 years ago when the Zamboni went from Centennial Sportsplex down to the arena, it got into a wreck. They put it on Broadway, drove.
Oh, I do remember.
Somebody rear-ended it, or it hit something or whatever. So that starts your franchise off pretty good there as the Zamboni hit somebody. It sent a message to the league that they were not going to play around.
Yeah, well, and they haven't for 25 years and entering the 25th season for
the
Nashville Predators. I know. It's like the fact that – now, it's a little confusing because, you know, I think with the Preds, it actually is 25 – it's been 25 years.
This is their 25th year.
Yeah. The Titans also have – they're celebrating 25, but they were here for –
Yeah, they don't. They try to. Those 2 years as the Tennessee Oilers, they try to.
Well, I feel like they count. They don't count Memphis, but they count Vandy.
No, they don't. They count just Titans.
Oh,
so it's like that scene in Men in Black when Will Smith holds that thing up and you look at it and you forget the past. They like to forget those 2 years at Memphis, especially Memphis and Vandy, and then. But it's just the 25th because Mike Keith has invited me. There's a bunch of people that are involved in a 25-year. Kind of retrospective throughout the entire year for the Titans about moments that happened and all that, and it's their 25th. It's into their 25th year.
Well,
just like the Preds
at the game the other day, they were playing like the top 10 plays of all time, which were pretty cool.
Number one.
Well, I mean, you know, is there another one?
Give me another play that was in that top 10.
They had the well, they had a series of plays, but when Chris Johnson broke 2,000 in that game.
That was in Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, so they ran that. They ran when Derek broke 2,000. What was the number 10?
Did you go to the game?
I did. I just I don't remember these things. I just remember generalities, you know?
Oh, yeah. That would be the top 10, 20. I mean, obviously Miracles won.
Yeah.
Beating the Colts in the playoffs.
They had the
– Eddie's looking at the scoreboards. He's behind him. That was a heck of a run.
They had the you know, when McNair came in, I think it was the Giants, when he came back, when he had hurt the sternum and he came back in and won the game.
Yeah, okay.
So they ran some of that. But
did they show Corey Davis beating the Eagles when Mariota was scrambling out through the end zone?
No, but they had Mariota with the pass to himself.
Okay.
That was one
so
of
them. So it's not home much. Just
no, it's just,
did
yeah.
Did they show just, Kenny Britt beating the Cardinals and that 99-yard drive by Vince Young went down the field
yes,
and beat them?
Yes, that was one.
Okay.
Yep.
That was 2009.
Yeah.
Crazy season.
But, yeah, so, you know, celebrating all that. But the Predator, they were on the ice for a little bit earlier, and I don't know if they've gone to the other rink. But
probably.
This is cool. Yeah, it's like, all right, Chase and Big Joe are starting. Let's go over here.
Let's go. Let's get done. Let's get out of here. No, they're the Zamboni's on the ice, so they're clearing it off and getting ready. This is a neat facility out here, man.
Yeah, and we'll actually talk to the councilwoman of this area. You know, Bellevue is near and dear to me.
Right, yeah.
And so –
what's her name, by the way? She came in a little
bit. Sherry.
What time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, all right.
Yeah. But, you know, this was the Bellevue Mall. They tore the or it was in this area, tore it down, built a new shopping center, a theater, and then this facility that kind of took over as the community center and,
right.
and then another
four. You know,
center.
I think where we are is where the Oilers first had their facilities
yes,
here.
Yes, that actually is – true.
And they had them in portables or sitting outside. Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah. Well, the doctor's office, the building is next door.
Okay. That's where
because that's where I went. That's my pediatrician was there because, like, the first time I met Floyd Reese was I was walking out of the doctor's office with, like, a lollipop, and Floyd's walking out of a, you know, scouting meeting or
wow.
something like that. But, yeah, you're right. And they had all the trailers.
Awful. It was an awful situation.
Oh, it was terrible.
Awful setup.
My dad surprised me one day, picked me up from school. He's like, hey, I need you to help me with the catering. I'm like, oh, I don't want to. Like, we pull up to these trailers, and I'm thinking, what the heck is this? And Jeff Fisher walks out, and he's like, hey, young man.
Hey, what's going on here?
You got some spaghetti for us? We appreciate it.
Can you catch punts?
So, yeah, so that history here in Bellevue. But, yes, you're right. This facility is awesome. I know a lot of people that play, you know, league, you know,
yeah.
rec league hockey here, and
sure, right.
So it's awesome to have this here, and that Barry Trotz wanted to bring training camp over here. I think is even cooler. So
it's all training camp here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be back at Centennial towards the start of the regular season, from what I understand.
There are. It's. I like it because what it is there are some college coaches who will not do any preseason football wise. College who will not do any practice on the game field.
Yeah.
And the thing is being said, you earn that right to get on that field. So when you go to the first game, you get on your game field, it's a home game, you appreciate it instead of getting on there and practicing 15 times in a row and like, all right, just another thing. It makes it special.
Yeah, absolutely. Titans in action against the Cleveland Browns. And now I have heard like all this analysis on Deshaun Watson and how – you know, we talked to John McClain yesterday, heard, you know, this morning, Charles Robinson, when he was on with Robbie and Rexroad, that he's just not looking like the Deshaun Watson of old. And now that he doesn't have Nick Chubb to rely on, even more is going to be on his shoulders when it comes to winning football games. I think that that plays in the Titans' hands, especially with that front seven that they have.
Well, absolutely it does. But, again, I mean – and I heard somebody this morning, like, you know, eventually Watson's going to break out of it and have a great game and have a hot hand and all that. I just said, again, I just put every guy, seven, eight guys, every time he drops back the pass,
yeah,
they're coming at him and coming at him every single time and putting him on his butt and not let him get in any kind of rhythm. I know it's easier said than done, but I would just come after him. I mean, the running game's not going to be really there because Nick Chubb's gone, but put those seven, eight guys, let them rush, let them get in there, let put the pressure on them, and let Watson force them out of things to do.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to have to do to bring that pressure in, because I think the Browns' offensive line issues maybe aren't as bad as the Titans, but they're not great by any means. Obviously, they lost Jack Conklin for the year, but they got some holes there that the Titans can exploit.
Well, they do, and, you know, everything you gathered in the Chargers win – you lose it all in a loss to the Browns.
Yep.
But if you keep that momentum going and you can knock off the Browns, now you're 2-1, you're feeling pretty good about your team. You're coming home, you're playing a Bengals team that they play Monday night, correct? And the Bengals played the Rams Monday night or Sunday night?
Yeah.
Something
Let
like
look that. At
that. Anyway, but, you know, if you're a Titans fan,
the Browns are on a short week.
If Burrow doesn't play, I mean, then you got a shorthanded Bengals squad and you're looking at 3-1 and you got the Colts coming in here.
Yeah.
Or you're going there. Sorry.
Yeah, Colts go. Yeah, you're going there. So, you can build some momentum
over
the course of the next few weeks, and that's exactly what they're going to have to do. If they, you know, if they can exploit some of those deficiencies that, that the Browns have up front and then get to Watson and force him to make throws that, you know, what you doing over there, John?
I got Nick sent me the Zoom link to get on, and then I'm trying to get on, but my computer's not recognizing the Zoom link for some reason.
Oh, technology.
It is.
It's a thing.
It is a thing, isn't it? But, yeah, so just one game at a time. Go out and beat the Browns. Keep getting that momentum.
Hey, guys, we're just trying to go 1-0 every week.
6 seconds.
Six seconds.
He came. That's James Franklin came in one time and said, "Just all I need is 6 seconds from you." And I was like, what? What are we talking about here? Right? Yeah,
what does that mean? Exactly.
He's like, 6 seconds. I had 6 seconds. And every play, 6 seconds. And he just kept going. I'm like, okay, I get it now. And then, you know, 1-0. You win one play. And you go, but, hey, you know what? Like, it worked.
It worked. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Coming up next, I want to get into...
Wait, we're already in the break?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I want to get into something that the Titans have been very successful at, but how long can they keep it going?
Overcharging?
No.
Okay.
No. That's a tease. We'll just leave it there, and I'll tell you what we're going to talk about during the break.
All right.
How about
sounds good, pal.
That is all next. Chase and Big Joe live today, Ford Ice in Bellevue. Eric Metcalf, former running back, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He does a Browns podcast for the Believe Network. So looking forward to his perspective here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Is there a cap on play action? Like, is there a certain point at which you say too much is diminishing returns? You did really well with what you did, but you didn't do a great, great deal.
Well, I think it's about timing and picking and choosing your spots and, you know, getting a rhythm and a feel for, you know, when pressure, you know, may come. Sometimes some of those run actions, you know, the protection could be stressed based on a pressure or look that you get. So sometimes we get out of it, but you know, I don't think that there's a cap. You know, you just want to be, you know, balanced and be able to pick and choose your spots, and we, you know, were able to hit a couple of them the other day.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about play action. Chase and Big Joe show live today, Ford Ice in Bellevue, as the Predators open training camp. You can come out and watch training camp. They obviously a lot of room here at the Ford Ice in Bellevue. So,
what are the hours, Chase, open for training camp today?
Well, they're on the ice right now, and I think they're on until 3 o'clock. From what I understand.
Okay.
I don't have the schedule right in front of me.
So, but might just come out here and it's open to the public and come out and see and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's already some people here. Got some Preds jerseys checking it out. So.
Okay.
You can go down there.
I might just go do that a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too close because then Barry will ask me to skate and I'm not really in shape.
Just for his entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. I told him if you ever need somebody to go out and just to send a message, I can hold onto the sideboard and start, and start swinging left and right.
He'll look at you and go, "Not tonight, Big Joe."
Yeah, not at all. So maybe with him being back, I'll have my opportunity.
You never know. You might indeed. All right, so you heard that clip there from Mike Vrabel. We've seen play action work really well for the Titans. You know, when Derrick Henry is running the ball, I mean, he had 80 yards on Sunday. Then it opens up Ryan Tannehill being able to use the play-action pass, which I think he is extremely good at. But,
yeah,
you know, that can that continue to be the Titans' bread and butter, or is it something that the league's going
to
figure
well,
out?
Well, it needs to be because you remember a couple years ago when Arthur Smith was here, they ran out of the pistol quite a bit. The play-action, the Derrick was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, because you didn't – even in that Ravens playoff game, it froze their defense. And the Patriots, that first game, froze them as well. So, I think Tannehill does a great job. That's why I go back chasing that Saints game, and the way Tannehill played in that game was just awful.
It's just,
awful.
Off day, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it.
And then you look what he did last Sunday. It's like, well, this cannot be the same quarter. It's truly a Jekyll and Hyde situation. So if he can keep the play action going and freeze that defense, and then he throws about as pretty a deep ball in the NFL as anybody else does. And I tell you, when the camera pans over and you're watching the game on TV and you see Burks with about four steps on the DB.
Oh, yeah.
And that ball just drops in there perfectly. And that's what he's done the entire time. The pass to Chris Moore was the same way. So I think if you get Tannehill in his element, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
It really is.
I agree. And that, you know, but that goes back to you got to run the football. And they were doing that not only with Henry, but Tajay Spears, I think, had like 50 yards too. I mean, so he was moving the ball pretty well. And I just think that play action catches a defense off guard because you have to respect when 22's in the backfield.
You got to put some respect on that.
You do. Put some spec on it. You also have to respect with Hopkins and now Burks.
Yep.
You know, I mean, because the deep ball hadn't hit D-Hop yet. But, I mean, it will.
Who's the slot guy?
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be Kyle Phillips, but he's obviously hurt. D-Hop can play the slot. Burks can play the slot. They can put Moore in
there.
I don't
want Burks in the slot.
I don't either. I like him on the outside.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I don't love D-Hop in the slot either. I would rather him be on the outside. So, they've used Westbrook Akina, I think, has been in there some.
Isn't that crazy how the slot receiver just exploded in the last 20 years? Because you go back, like – you think about those Cowboys teams in the 90s won three Super Bowls.
Yep.
I mean, it was Irvin, Alvin Harper, the first couple Super Bowls, Alvin Harper, Novacek at tight end, and Emmitt. And that's like, that was your offense.
And Moose.
That was
Don't
it.
Don't forget Moose.
True. I mean, so that was it. So the main one was Irvin and Emmitt Smith. And now you get all these different slot receivers. You know, they asked Nick Saban, said, what would you do if you could go back and talk to Nick Saban 30 years ago when you were at Michigan State? Of course, he was there at Derek Mason. He said, I would have – got the spread put in immediately.
Yeah.
Put him out there and get, you know, because you're going to find a matchup that works for you. Miles Davis was the original with the run and shoot. The whole goal with the run and shoot back in the day when it started was to pair your worst DB up with an average receiver on your team and take advantage of that. So that's what the spread has done as well. But if you could do that, put Spears in, get Henry in there, play action work, it's hard to stop that. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, and – you've seen teams, some do it much better than others. But, you know, I remember, like, Derek, when he really started to come into his own as a receiver, you know, he didn't like to classify himself as a slot receiver, but he made a lot of big plays running out of the slot and over the middle.
Yeah, that's the check down guy is the one that you see the two guys covering the outside, and there's your slot guy sprinting, you know, there's some strong safety who can't keep up with him. You just pop, and that's where the tight ends become so popular. I mean, Gronkowski kind of revolutionized the tight end role because he was fast and big getting down the field, and a lot of teams started imitating that as well going forward. With I mean, Delaney Walker was like that. I mean, a hell of a tight end who got open. And so now with the different avenues, you could do that. And if you get Chig going, but the problem is on Sunday, though, Chaser, is that you got to stop Myles Garrett. So you have that by half. Who's a tight end that jumps off all the sides all the time?
Wesco.
So you've got to put somebody on, start chipping Myles Garrett. If not, he's wreaking havoc in the backfield all day long.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets on Sunday.
I hope not.
I know, but, I mean, like you said, have somebody in there to chip and kind of be that extra, you know, offensive lineman.
And don't shy away from it. Go at him. That's why.
Yeah, sure.
We talked about this yesterday. Coaches are, he's not going to determine our game. I mean, just say, look, he's a massive, fantastic player who could determine the outcome of the game, but we're going to try to go at him and not let him get in the backfield and – determine what happens on Sunday. You just go at it, man.
Yeah, and, like, their secondary doesn't scare me all that much. I mean, they got Newsome, who's decent, Denzel Ward. But, I mean, I think you can get some plays on them, especially with this receiving group. Now, you know, how is Hopkins? I think we kind of saw that the numbers weren't there for Hopkins last week. You know, clearly he might have been hampered by the ankle. But,
yeah,
I mean, he's
got all the blocks downfield.
Yeah,
though. He
did. I mean, he did, and he made a couple of big plays. So, you know, I think overall in the first two games, like, you know, you have to like the Titans receiving core. That's with the caveat that if Tannehill had, you know, hit some of the plays that he tried to make that were dumb throws against the Saints, you know, the guys were there.
Yeah, so. I totally agree. So we got Eric Metcalf coming up, huh?
We do. That's going to be fun. Former first round pick, Cleveland legend.
That's right. His dad was a legend in NFL too as well. Yep. Terry.
Yeah. So would he have played for Belichick?
Yeah, that's right.
With Cleveland?
He sure would have.
That's interesting.
Some heck of a Browns team. You know, when you think of the Browns,
Kozar.
If excluding Jim Brown, when you think about the Browns, who comes to mind?
I mean, all the quarterbacks that they've drafted, like, so Baker Mayfield, Tim Couch. Like, I think of guys that, you know, haven't been very successful with them. Brady Quinn.
I think about Brian Sipe for some weird reason.
Kelly Holcomb?
Kelly Hook, Bernie Kosar. But I go back to the drive with Elway in that playoff game and the 86 season, you know, happened in January 87. But I always think about that drive. And then the next year, they, you know, the fumble the Browns had against the Broncos going in for the score. It was an Alabama running back, and I can't remember his name, and he fumbled going in. Please get the text line. Let me know who it is.
What year?
615-737-1025. It was the 87 playoff, 87 season. The Browns are going in to win the game, and he fumbled like at the three-yard line. And I cannot remember the running back's name. He's from Alabama, and he fumbled going in, and the Broncos recovered it. Mm. It was a major game.
Yeah, well, and I remember we've talked to Kelly Holcomb about this. They were playing. Was it the Steelers
playoffs.
In the playoffs? And like had they had won. The game. They had the game won, and just
I think Tommy Maddox was a Steelers quarterback. Yeah, but I mean, is there more? Is there a franchise that's had?
Was it Tommy or was it Neil O'Donnell?
No, Neil O'Donnell was gone. Okay. Neil O'Donnell left after the Super Bowl season, went to the Jets.
That's right. And then he had a year in
that's
Cincinnati.
A good, question day. What franchise has been just? Has had the most heart NFL most heartbreak. Is it the Browns?
Probably.
Lions are up there, but not to the extent of the Browns. It's got to be the Browns.
I would. Yeah, I mean, I'd say probably because you. I mean, you have to include, you know, Modell moving the team.
Yep. And that's then, right.
You
yeah.
Know, I mean that.
And that's then the up two
there.
Losses to the Broncos in the playoffs.
Rick says Beiner.
For was the running it Beiner? Back. Oh, yeah, it was Beiner. The guy that hit him with the Broncos was an Alabama guy. That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly – thank you, Rick, there for that. Appreciate that. Yeah, so the guy hit him was an Alabama – who was the Alabama player that hit him? I'm too lazy to Google. This is how you interact with your audience. It goes on.
Let's see if the text line
– Who is the player? Who's the Broncos player that hit Ernest Beiner going in for the touchdown?
Ernest Beiner.
615-737-1025. You know, Beiner was a running back coach here for a while with the Titans.
He was.
But that's a moment where he scored, doesn't fumble. He goes in. The Browns are going to the Super Bowl. That's the year that the Redskins beat the Broncos, and Timmy Smith had 200 yards rushing and never played after that.
Yeah, everybody's saying Ernest Beiner. We got Ernest Beiner now.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It was a Bama player that hit him. And I don't know who the Bama – I could look it up, but, again, I like the interaction with the audience.
Yep, former Titans running back coach. Tyler says when your question of most heartbreak, the Bills, four straight Super Bowls. I mean, that's pretty
– But think about getting to four straight Super Bowls and then losing them all.
Right.
That takes some talent.
Yeah, I mean, but – and it's like it's an accomplishment to get there, but it's still – it's like that's what you're known for.
Yeah, it's great talking to Pete Weber about the Scott Norwood missed field goal the first time they played the Giants. You go back on paper, and I hate that on paper, there's no way that the Bills should have lost that Super Bowl to the Giants. That was Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells out-coaching Marv Levy and that yep. Bills team.
And that was – Was Sims hurt?
He was. So Hostetler.
It was Hostetler.
Yep.
And then wasn't the former NBA coach when he
– Rutledge?
Yeah. When he the backup?
Well, look at you, buddy. And then next year the Bills go to the Super Bowl. They play the Redskins, and Thurman Thomas can't find his helmet.
Yeah.
He's out the first couple of plays. Then they ran the next two, ran into the
when
Cowboys.
When was Frank Reich? Because Kelly
he
got hurt.
There. I think he was on those. Yeah, because he led the comeback against the Oilers in 93.
Yeah, because Kelly was hurt.
Yes.
I think.
That's right. Yep, he was. Yep. So then they come back and they unfortunately the Bills hit the Cowboys in the Super Bowl those two games. And,
yep.
And well, you just couldn't stop that. We got it. Who's the Broncos player?
Well, no, just a lot of texts coming in. Falcons lost to the Patriots, 28-3.
But is that a franchise that's broken your heart? I mean, that's
yeah.
Falcons are 0-2 in the Super Bowl. But I guess the Bills going to four. Browns
Jeremiah four. Castile.
That's it. Who
there
said that?
Unnamed texter.
What's the last four digits?
8805.
You're a hero. Thank you. Alabama player. I don't know what I had for breakfast yesterday or even today, but for some weird reason, I can remember all that stuff from the 80s and 90s, which helps me none in my current life, but that's okay. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Yeah, very, very good. Yep, Jeremiah Castile caused the fumble.
Yep.
That's what Dylan just said. Coming up next, we will talk to – I almost said Eric Beiner, combining names here. We'll talk to Eric Metcalf, former Browns running back, NFL running back. He's now with the Believe Network. He'll give some insight on the Cleveland Browns. We'll do that next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe show live today. Ford Ice in Bellevue. Predators training camp underway, and they're on the ice as we speak. But previewing the Titans and the Browns, week three in the NFL, and excited, Joe, about our next guest. Former Browns running back, NFL running back, Eric Metcalf is on the line with us, also from the Believe Network. Eric, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Obviously, we'll start with the big news with the Browns as Nick Chubb out for the year, that injury that we saw Monday night, and hope the best for him. But what does that mean now for the Browns offense as they no longer have one of their best players?
I mean, when you take a Nick Chubb away, whether it's on the field or in the locker room, it makes it tough on a team. So I think guys have to pick up each other and go out there and play. I mean, when you're talking about from a defensive standpoint, we ran the ball almost 30 times against the Steelers, and we still passed it for 40 times. So I don't know how much it changes. I think we just expect Deshaun to do a little more in the passing game, so we don't have to lean on the run as much.
Do you feel like that there's going to be a steady rotation between Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford, though?
I think eventually it will be. Right now, because Kareem hasn't played this season, I think it'll be more Jerome Ford. But I think they'll work him in, and they'll be able to do more things with Kareem because he's a receiver as well.
We're talking to former Browns legend Eric Metcalf this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show. And, Eric, let's talk about Deshaun Watson. You know, the team's off to 1-1 start. Watching the game the other night, Eric, watching Deshaun go through, this is me watching from my TV and my couch, you know, at home. He just seemed disinterested in the game. Does that make sense? I didn't see a fire in a quarterback that I wanted to see. Am I wrong in this?
I don't know if he's disinterested. I think when I look at it, I think I look at a football player who hasn't played a lot of football in over 2 years, right? We played a few games last year. Now he's finally playing. He played a couple games this year, but preseason he didn't play. And so it's when you're playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's going to show you all kind of exotic looks. It makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to read because you're not able to go out there and just react. You're having to think about things because the speed is different. I think you got to settle down, stop moving around so much, and worry about his feet, and then set and throw the ball. And make it easier for him in the passing plays that you're calling.
Yeah, Eric, do you think long-term he's the answer? I mean, do you think he has what it takes to get the Browns to that one place they've never been before, the Super Bowl?
That's hard for anybody to get there, whether he's on point or not. But I think he can be the guy. When you bring up Deshaun Watson in, it's not because you expect him to go out there and throw for 400 yards every game. It's because you expect him to make plays that other quarterbacks haven't made in previous years to win games, to win close games. And granted, he didn't do it the other day, but down the line, that's what's going to have to take place.
Talking to Eric Metcalf, he's the host of the Dog Check on the Believe Network, a podcast that you can check out. Obviously a three-time Pro Bowler and two-time All-Pro running back. So the position that you played, obviously we have a pretty good one here in Nashville with Derrick Henry. And as he hits 30 years old, you know, there's that, you know, thought of, okay, is he going to hit the proverbial wall? To this point, it hasn't looked like he has. What's kind of your take on Derrick Henry and just how physically different he is from other backs?
I mean, we know size-wise he's physically different, but he's been one of the most productive backs over his career in this league. And so you have to respect what he's done and what he's continuing to do. When I look at the Browns defense, we know that when you show up Sunday, you better stop Derrick Henry or you're not going to win the game. And so I like what Derrick Henry has done over the course of his career. Unfortunately, he plays position where it gets devalued at this point, but he should definitely be paid a lot more money because of his productivity.
Eric, let me ask you this. We like to ask guests on this show who are outside looking in on the Titans. What do you think about Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill? I mean, he's been in the league a long time. He's had some ups and downs. What do you think about Tannehill when you look outside in on this football team?
He's a steady quarterback. I mean, when you look at the NFL, there's only, what, four or five elite quarterbacks and top tier. And so he's a guy who's maybe second tier, who's able to lead your team in victory and not make mistakes. So that's what you want from him when you're talking about Ryan Tannehill. You don't want him to make mistakes. You want him to go out there, lead the team, hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and win games.
Also, Eric, I got to bring this up too. You played with my former college, my roommate, junior college, Randy Baldwin in Cleveland. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. I talked to Randy from time to time.
Yeah, I played with him many, many years ago, and I know he got drafted by the Vikings. He got picked up by Bill Belichick, picked him up, and you played under Bill Belichick. Those were some fun times back in the early 90s with the Browns, wasn't it?
It was very fun. I mean, unfortunately, we could never get to the Super Bowl, but the guys in the locker room and going out there and competing with the special brotherhood is what made it fun in the 90s for us.
What's it like, Eric, you know, working in a fan base? You played, you know, for the Browns, and seeing a fan base that, you know, yes, they've had disappointment, but they're loyal, just as loyal each and every week as they would be if they didn't have that disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the Browns fans, I mean, everybody is cliche and everybody thinks they have the best fan base. But I've been on a few teams, and I know that there's nothing better than being a Cleveland Brown if you're a player, because these fans are so loyal. They've been through so much, win or lose. They have expectations that have not been met. And so I'm looking forward to them finally getting over the hump, not only for the players, but for the fans.
It's good. Eric, before they go, I mean, once again, you're nominated for the Hall of Fame. I mean, I know you want to get in there, but I guess it never gets old getting nominated, right?
It never gets old because, I mean, I guess they consider you one of the best to ever do it in this game. So, you know, it's always a pleasure, an honor. And when you play the game, you want to think about leaving a mark. And I feel like I did leave a mark where – at least they're thinking about me in that respect.
Amen.
He is Eric Metcalf, again, the podcast host of The Dog Check on the Believe Network. You can check that out. Eric, appreciate the time today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Eric Metcalf, former running back. I mean, and you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday when it comes to Hall of Fame, and I mean, you look at his return statistics.
It's amazing. Ten touchdowns on punt returns and two on kickoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, 3,400 yards on punt returns and over 5,000, nearly 6,000 with punt returns. I mean, that should factor in for something.
Yep.
You know, and I hope there is a day where there's somebody in this room of people that vote on this that go, special teams need to matter.
Yeah, maybe one day. We went through all that list yesterday of everything that went on, but – I mean, he's definitely a Browns legend. I mean, he's just – some of those games in the 90s were good. And sometimes you'll pop on the NFL Network, will show some of those early games. You see the graphics that go on. And there he is with you'll see a Metcalf return for a touchdown. So, good job, Chase, getting him.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. That was fun to have him on for sure. We're live today, Ford Ice Center here in Bellevue. Predators are on the ice. Got a nice nice group of fans that have made their way out here. Again, you can come out to Ford Ice in Bellevue and watch the Predators practice. They are on the ice throughout the day. Is look and see this group. They're broken up in three different groups, I guess, is how they're doing it. But appreciate them for having us out here. Hope to have some guests on from Ford Ice here in Bellevue, but looking forward to that. Coming up next, though, celebrity birthdays.
No, we're pushing it to 10:45 because Willie's going to join us.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Willie Donick.
Yeah, that's right. Well, William Donick will join. Yeah, I forgot.
He's always walking down the hallway knowing these birthdays, or thinking he knows these birthdays. So we're going to put Willie Donick to the test this morning at 10:45.
Well, okay, I'm glad you said that because that allowed me to get the schedule up. So the second group for the Preds will be on at 11 when we're done, and then Group C will be on at 1 o'clock, and everything here at Ford Ice.
Come on out.
Yeah, already have – and tomorrow during our show, there'll be a scrimmage between Group A and B. So already getting to scrimmaging. But we'll talk a little bit more about that and the Titans next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin.
It's a new song, like a silent disco.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Our boy Lane Kiffin's.
There it is.
Okay. All right. Got to get that band up. It's a union band. You know. They just sit around. So, anyway, Lane Kiffin started his stuff again against Saban. This time, Lane Kiffin is called. This is on ESPN.com. Called about double down on his accusation. Alabama defensive coordinator Kevin Steele wasn't calling plays for the Crimson Tide during their 17-3 win over South Florida. It's not a big deal, but anytime Kiffin is going at Alabama in some small dig, and he said, looks like that the defensive backs coach T-Rob, Travarius Robinson, had taken over play calling duties. Something Crimson Tide coach Nick Saban had not announced, and Kiffin goes on to say, the plays look different, the calls look different, I'm just wondering. And then it got Saban's ire going, obviously, and then he just talks about that. So anytime Kiffin take a dig at him, and then it's really weird. But, I mean, that's – I don't see the big deal of that. And there are more things to worry about if you're Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I mean, but that's Lane Kiffin. Like, he's going to take a – he plays the mind games. And, you know, I think he just thrives off of that. Like, whether it's Tennessee or it's Alabama – you know, if it's Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M, I mean, he's going to find little things to just poke the bear.
That's our bet for Saturday.
Yeah.
Double
and nothing. I like Ole Miss. Hottie toddy.
All right.
In Tuscaloosa.
I think Alabama. I think Saban's now, he's angry. Got his quarterback. He's good to go. Alabama, Ole Miss rolls into Tuscaloosa, and he's going to go down swinging. I just think Bama takes him.
You may be 100% right. And that, so that means I owe you two lunches? Is that what it would
but
be?
But we could, like, double up, like, you know, Ruth Chris or something. You know? Instead of, like, Burger King, then if you double or nothing, it's Ruth Chris.
Okay.
Because those are pretty comparable.
Compatible.
Whatever, yeah.
We're compatible.
We are compatible.
I'm trying to find somebody I'm compatible with, and, you know, it's a full time.
Well, you know.
You've been around me for 12 years.
I have.
You've seen the evolution.
Yep, up and down, man. You got to get it going on.
The roller coaster of love.
But you need to, so whatever, after Alabama beats them, we might triple it down, or whatever they call it after that.
Where so you're that confident that Jordan Milroe, after sitting,
Jalen Milroe, yeah.
After sitting a week, is like all of a sudden got it figured out.
Quarter, because there's no controversy anymore. Remember the last couple weeks, like, who are you going to start? What's going to happen? Yeah. What's the rotation? Now it's like, he's my starter. So that's done. That's put aside. There's no questions asked. Now you concentrate on what's ahead, and that's playing, beating Ole Miss on Saturday. And again, I told you, I think Kiffin's done after this. I really do believe those rumors are true.
The Kiffin's done?
Not Kiffin. Saban's done.
Saban's done.
Saban's done. They both end with an N.
Yeah.
But Saban's done because he's not a fan of the 8, 12, 16, 32, 64, whatever it's going to end up playoff eventually. And then he can just say, this is it. So
he's probably not a fan. And I get it. You know, I mean, look, he's been doing this a long time. I mean, you think about 30 years ago when he was at Michigan State, when Derek was playing for him, how different college athletics are. That there was no NIL, there was no transfer portal. You didn't have to worry about that. When you signed a commitment, you were there, or you quit, you didn't play football anymore.
Well, he was also, our previous guest, Eric Metcalf. I mean, Saban was on the staff. You know, Saban was with Floyd with the Oilers in 87, 88, and then with Belichick for the Browns. He left the Browns and they went 1 year to some coach somewhere for in college and then took the Michigan State job the next year in 96. Had Derek Mason for 1 year and then
– 2 years.
2 years. I think 1 year.
He played for him 2 years.
Okay.
Junior and senior year.
Okay. And then went to LSU, then to Dolphins, now to Alabama. But I think I had a fun discussion with an Alabama fan, a week ago. And I talked about Saban leaving. And I said, hey, who was the coach before Saban? And you know what he said? I don't know. I don't remember.
Mike Shula.
I said, how long you been a – Tide fan. Did they start winning 2009 when they won their first championship? You didn't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess technically, couldn't you say Rich Rodriguez because the reports were he was going to take it and then he backed out?
I never signed on the dotted line. Yeah.
But it wasn't like Mike Price.
Shula was there to kind of get the ship straight.
After the Price thing.
After Franchione left and Mike Price. It was just not a good time for Alabama football. And then.
Is that when Fulmer had like turned him in? Some stuff.
Fulmer didn't show up at media days in Birmingham. He didn't get subpoenaed. There's a lot of people in Alabama that don't like Philip Fulmer. There's a lot of people in Tennessee don't like him either, too, as well, after what happened with Pruitt. But that was a time for Alabama football, was it? You know, and when Stallings was there, then Dubose was there. I mean, they were competitive. I mean, sure. There was, but then it just kind of.
So when they played in the first Music City Bowl at Vanderbilt, was that Shula?
That was Stallings or Dubose. I don't remember. It was 98.
98. I think Stallings was gone.
It might have been Dubose, yeah. It might have been Dubose's first year there, I think.
Because Stallings, they had Sean Alexander as a running back.
Yep, because Stallings would have been there. Curry left after the 89 season, and then Stallings came in 90. It might have been 90 to 96 Stallings or 90 to 97 right in there. And then Dubose came over, and he had a fallout, and then it was –
yeah, they got beat 38-7.
And that game was awful. It was Michael Vick, I think, played in that game.
It was Mike Dubose's second season.
Okay. It was at Vanderbilt. It was like 34 degrees, and it was icing, and it was just enough to make you miserable.
Yep.
I didn't go because I was on the road going out to the Fiesta Bowl for the Tennessee National Championship game against Florida State then. But
that's right. That was the year.
Yeah, but that's the Alabama thing. And so, you know, now the speculation, we talked about it yesterday, who's going to – if Saban does say goodbye, who takes over that job?
By the way, you know who the wide receivers coach on that team was?
Which team?
Alabama, 98.
That'd have been Dabo.
That was Dabo.
Yep.
That is correct.
Not Gabo.
But not Gabo, but Dabo.
But Dabo, yeah. In 98, that sure was. Because he had played for Stallings.
Was he on that championship team?
Yes. If I'm correct, and Stallings liked him and kept him on.
Yeah, 90 to 92.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so he was.
There you go.
Then Dabo continued there and then took over.
But he's coached – that's what's crazy about him is he's coached at two different schools. That's it, Alabama and Clemson.
And, you know, Tommy Bowden loved him at Clemson.
Yep.
And then Stallings loved him at Alabama when he was there. So, it just – it's pretty the crazy. Grind. Yeah. Most of those coaches have – 7, 8, 9, 10 stops on their resume. Very rarely do they have just two.
Yeah. Very, very true.
It is true.
Coming up next, we'll talk more about what's going on here at Ford Ice in Bellevue in this facility. Councilwoman Sherry Wiener going to join us on site here as the Predators are on the ice for practice right now, watching Coach Andrew Brunette lead his first training camp with the Nashville Predators. We'll do all that in hour number two. Chasing Big Joe.
Before you go to the break, they're doing sprints down the ice on skates. Could you do that?
No.
If I gave you an hour to learn, could you do that?
No, I'd be passed out in the corner.
I just can't skate.
Probably with
I mean,
a snapped ankle.
That's amazing to watch. I mean, I know they're professionals, but to watch them down the ice like this?
Oh, it's crazy.
There's no way.
It's crazy. More Chasing Big Joe next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.